How many of you really want to walk a walk that's pleasing to God? How many of us really want to live a life?
I do.
How many of you are really ready to pay the price at any cost? How many realize there's a cost to serve God? You know, I was preaching on Friday night, and as I was preparing, it came to me the things that people said about Jesus. Did you ever stop and think what they said about Jesus? You know, in Mark chapter 3, the people said he was out of his mind. In Mark chapter 6, they were offended by what he said. You ever offend anybody? In John chapter 7, it says even his brothers didn't believe in him. Think about that for a moment. His own family didn't believe him. In Luke chapter 6, the Pharisees said he was demonic. He was possessed by the devil. That he was a child of Beelzebub, and Beelzebub means God of the flies. I'd like to take you to some scripture this morning just to set the stage for what I'm preaching. In Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27, I'm going to give you three passages before we get started here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. And according to Angie, all these will be the shuns. 127 says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Only let your conduct be worthy. Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question pretty quick, so don't just go to sleep on me. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Where'd the other mic? I don't need it. It's okay. Just hold it up. Don't turn it on. Nobody's going to take it anyway. Now I want you to come, start out on Sunday after church, and go through this morning, and I want you to tell everything you've done. Everything you've said, every thought you've had that you dwelt on during the week. How many of you would just run up here and start talking? You say, what are you doing? Because every thought you've had, everything you've said, everything you've done, every action you've made, God knows about. I'm not trying to scare you. Nothing from God goes unnoticed. How many know that? How many know what the word omniscient means? What does it mean? He's all... No, I'm not trying to scare you. I want to improve all of us together. How many of you would like your life just flashed on that screen from the last week? And if you walked in this morning and I said, we have a little bit of disclaimer, we're going to flash your life on the screen, but don't sue us. How many just turn around and go home? You say, what are you doing? I want us to mature. I want me to mature. I want me to grow. This is not about you as much as it is about me. You say, well, Pastor, what was your life like? Well, I spent some time on the phone with a detective after they took my daughter's son away. Was a little concerned about Tuesday whether Kirk and I were going to get a check or not. Got a call from Sanford saying I should do a stress test and see what my heart is and or where it is or if I got one. And so there could have been a few things to get concerned about. Anybody ever had any concerns this week? Did we have any concerns, Curtis? How many know what I'm talking about? And how do we handle the stress? And how do we handle dealing at times with things that are normal in our walking in our lives? And how do we respond to them? And God is saying through Paul, three times at least, and there's a place in 1 Thessalonians that says, walk worthy. So I know there's four times. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established, the Bible says. So we know that at least four, five, six times in the Bible, and you can look up the word walk, or you can look up the word worthy in your concordance. It talks about walking out your faith. It talks about walking out your experience with God. Now, let me ask you a question. How many here profess to be a Christian? You profess to be a child of God. Raise your hand. If you're professing, okay? As we profess that, now listen, I know, I understand, and this is not a pick on me message or a pick on you message. This is some facts that are actually happening in people's lives who go to church on Sunday and the rest of the week, they don't even think about God unless they use his name in an inappropriate way. This is walking out my faith in Jesus Christ. This is coming to a place where I'm walking in the wisdom and revelation and the spirit and the love and the compassion and the power of God. Friday night we had several people come up for prayer, and I know there was at least three or four that said, and the one that really gripped my heart is a man walked up and said, my grandson was swimming in Fergus Falls and got hit by a boat propeller. And he's not expected to live. And I told him, stretch out your hand. You've got to always put him this way so he can receive something. Put him this way. It bounces off and I get it. So I told him, just stretch out your hands. I told three or four people that, and I took their hands and I began to pray that God would anoint them and he could go lay hands on his grandson and see him healed, or they could lay hands on that one with cancer or that one with a heart condition, or whatever it was. Because too often we think we need a pastor, or we need an evangelist, or we need Benny Hinn. And God wants us to flow, and how many realize that? God wants you to flow in His power. God wants you to flow in His Spirit. God wants you to walk out this life every day, every moment. I think the saddest thing in the world when somebody calls and says, man, I got a problem, and this and that is going on, and this is happening, and I say, okay, give me about 15 minutes to get right with God. We don't do that, do we? We need to be ready. I had a young man come out just before I left on Thursday, and I'm not going to give any names because he lives here in town, and I'm not going to go into any details, except he walked in and he said, say, Rev, I have a real problem. I'm doubting what I believe. I'm doubting the existence of God. I'm doubting that there is a God. And I just went over and over and over a lot of stuff I've gone over with you. And then the last thing I went over, I said, the Bible tells us that there were 512 witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. I want you to look at this. I told him, do you believe that these 512 witnesses would not only confess that Jesus was risen, but they'd be willing to die for him? And what about Paul? Paul was no idiot. How many understand that? He was a man of letters. He was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. But Nero beheaded him, and Paul died, I believe, even when he was in prison proclaiming the message of Jesus. It's not a sin to have the doubts. Hear me. It's a sin to allow the doubts to influence your decisions. You follow me? It's not a sin to have doubts. Satan will sow doubt. Satan will say all these things. The sin enters in is when we start accepting them and have it influence us. I was sitting in the tent on Friday night, and all of a sudden the Lord started giving me some words. And one of the words was this: there's somebody who's been weeping. And the day in your bedroom, you were weeping and you asked God, how long is this going to last? God, how long is this going to last, what I'm going through? And there were several people who came up and said, we've just been crying over things. But one of the ladies on the worship team came up and said, you know something, this morning I was in crying over a situation, asking God exactly what you said. How long is this going to last, God? How long do I have to go through this? God wants His church, and I know He wants me. And if He wants me, He wants you for sure on the cutting edge of what He's doing. He wants you walking it out in the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants you being the dynamic through His Holy Spirit that sees lives changed. And you know something? For whatever reason, we don't think it can be us, or we're not interested. We're going to touch on that a little bit later. After a very lengthy introduction, I will now preach. We will preach. 1 John chapter 1. Verse number 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Here's a verse we're going to hang our hat on. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay, look at me. I absolutely, confidently, today, have no fear about going to hell. You say, oh, you're just presumptuous or you're arrogant. No, I'm not. I believe what it says. If I walk in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we walk as in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship, we have communion one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. If I'm walking in the light, I'm not looking for a new place to sin. If I'm walking in the light, I'm not looking to willfully go out and violate God's word. If I'm walking in the light, when I do something or say something or something happens, that sin, I'm cleansed. That's what the Bible says. If I walk in the light as he is in the light, I have fellowship, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, continuously is cleansing me. You say, but I sin maybe a few times a day. Don't put a limit on the blood of Christ. Amen? Don't put a limit on what Christ can do in your life. Not with the sin that you've had or the occurring sin that you want to get rid of, but trust him. Now listen to me. If you have something, some sin that's constantly coming back and back and back and back, there's probably an oppressive spirit trying to destroy you and you need it broke. And God will do that. If there are sinful habits in your life, that's not part of your nature. It's not part of God's nature, and God can break it. But in our normal daily walk, as we're living and we're walking, and you know something? How many know that when you say something you shouldn't, you feel a check? Or even now, before you say something or do something, there's a check. That's the Spirit of God. Don't run through the stop sign. Don't focus on something so much, and God's trying to tap you on the shoulder. Joanna, don't do that. Joanna, don't do that. And we go through it. Stop. But when we fail, and I've had people come to me, well, what about a sin I don't understand or I don't know about? Well, I don't think I've committed too many of those. I don't lay awake at night worried about the sins that I don't know if I committed or not. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, you know, I could have done something. Well, usually when I do something, I do it big enough so people know or I know or somebody knows. But when we walk in the light, we have cleansing from all sin. When we walk in the light, we have fellowship. Now listen to me. Do you ever don't want to be with believers? You say, well, yeah, I just feel time, you know, I just don't want to be with any. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to pick up my Bible. I don't want to see pastor. Martha, is that true? Okay, just thought I'd check. I just want to do my own thing. I think there's an issue there. Hear me. I believe there's an issue. Anybody hear me? When we don't want to fellowship with believers, when we don't want to have people talk to us about Christ and we don't want to get in Wednesday night fellowship and we don't want to do this and we don't want to do that, there's some issues. The Bible says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That means having things in common. We have communion with one another. You know the fun part about the tent revival? Getting there about an hour and a half early, praying and walking around the tent and just talking to people. Just having fellowship. It's a whole different atmosphere than church. It's not get in and get out and get home and have lunch. We can get in, talk, walk, be a walkie-talkie, do the things that we have to do, preach, pray for the people, and then go have salad bar. No. But we have fellowship. We love the fellowship. I remember an old superintendent of the assembly that used to say, we love the fellowship and every fellow in the ship. But you know something? We have fellowship with one another, and that brings about, at most of the time, a fellowship with God. So be encouraged. Walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one another with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me. You don't have to go to bed at night worried. You don't have to go to bed at night in fear. Don't have to go to bed at night, well, if I don't wake up, what happens? I'm a child of God. Listen. Look at me one more time. And somebody here is going through some doubts. But just look at me. God wants you in heaven more than you want to go. I don't mean dying right now and getting out of here. Don't do that. But I mean, God wants us with Him more than we can comprehend, more than we can understand. He wants you in heaven. Put this in your computer. He wants you with Him for eternity, or why else would He have sent His Son? And so we look at it and we don't comprehend it. We don't take hold that God is not doing something because He has to do it. He's doing something because He wants us. We okay? Number two, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Galatians 5, if you're looking for a scripture and hang your hat on. Galatians chapter 5. Verse number 16. Walk in the Spirit. Live your life in the Spirit of God. Live your life paying attention to how the Spirit's leading you, how He's directing you, what He's speaking to you. How many understand that God talks to you? You say, whoa, whoa. The Spirit of God speaks to you internally, spiritually. I haven't heard the audible voice of God, but I've had many promptings by His Spirit within me that speaks. He speaks words. He don't speak in tongues. He speaks words to you that you understand. And we need to pay attention to that. Because when we walk in the Spirit, there's no condemnation. Let's go back over something quickly that we went over years ago and maybe we've gone over on Wednesday night. God doesn't bring condemnation to you to motivate you. God doesn't use guilt to motivate you. God uses conviction. Say conviction with me. When I fail, say this, when I fail, God uses conviction to make me aware of what I'm doing or what I've done wrong. Guilt and condemnation either comes from the sin or a direct attack from Satan. Okay, you don't have to say that. Condemnation or sin has its own built-in condemnation and guilt. God doesn't use Satan's tools. You got your Bibles? Let me show you something. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Not verse 16, but verse 17. John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him, how many believe in him? How many believe in Jesus? He who believes in him is not condemned. Say, when I'm trusting in God, I'm not condemned. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. The sin and the lack of belief brings condemnation because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This is the condemnation that he who has come in, he who is practicing, this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who comes to the truth comes to the light that his deeds may clearly be seen that they have that they have been done in God. When you come to Christ, you come into the light. There's no darkness. Your deeds are seen, and the deeds that you're now doing are for God. And there's no condemnation. You say, read that again. I kind of messed it up, but just read it on your own when you get home. And go to Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. Your life needs to be and can be free from all condemnation, from all guilt. You say, well, I did this and I did that and I did something else. There's only one man who never sinned. His name was Jesus. I don't make excuses for my sin. I need to realize when I sin. I need to be aware of them. But I also need to confess them and move on. I've said this before, and somebody needs to hear it today. In Christ Jesus, you are no longer a sinner. You are a saint. You say, oh man, no. The Bible was written to the saints at Ephesus, the saints at Philippi, the saints at Colossae. They were basically no different than you or I, but we're a little more modern. They all had sins. They all came to Christ. They were all washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And God sent Paul to write to the saints at Galatia, the saints at Philippi, the saints at Ephesus, the saints at Colossae. I'm not a sinner, although I'm saved by grace. I'm a saint, and so are you who sometimes sin. We okay with that, or that too? Too much. And so we walk out this life as children of God. None of you sitting here who've accepted Christ and are walking in him are a child of Satan, right? I'm a child of God. What does God call me? He called me what he called Paul and Peter and the rest of the guys and women that were born again after the resurrection. Keep in mind, nobody was born again before the resurrection. They were all born again after the resurrection. He called them saints. Do I call myself a saint? Just when I'm preaching to you. I don't come to Jesus, "Father, this is Saint Dwight. Please bless me." I don't do that. I don't do that. But in relationship to God, listen to me. In relationship to God, we as believers are not looked at by God as sinners. We're looked at by God as sons and saints. So, I mean, if you want to try coming to God and say, "This is Saint who," and, you know, go ahead. Are we okay? You look at me kind of funny. You okay, Sherry? Okay. Number three and the last point this morning, and you can go home and ponder this and lay on your bed this afternoon taking your nap and not being able to go to sleep. You're like, "What did that preacher say? I can't believe he would tell me that." This is a fun one. I love this one, and you may say, "I'm not looking at this." The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, look this up. Make sure preacher's telling you the right verse and the right interpretation. "For he who says," 2:6, 1 John 2:6, "for he who says he abides in him," meaning Christ, "ought himself also to walk just as he walked." He who says he abides in him, now look at me, we're not loading up the van, going down to Shoes R Us and mall by sandals so we can walk as Jesus walked. That's not what he's saying. You understand? Come on, you folks, lighten up a little bit. It's not going down and I'll preach in my sandals tonight, but that's not how Jesus, I mean, that's how Jesus walked, but that's not the point. The point is we should live our lives and walk out our lives the way that Jesus did. Now, I jotted something down. I don't want to mess this up. In John chapter 8, and I'm going to read those verses in a moment, the Bible says that Jesus said he'd only speak what he heard the Father speak. He said he always lives to please the Father. And in John chapter 5, he says, "I always do the will of my Father." Everything Jesus did, he saw the Father do. That's what he said. "I don't do anything unless I see the Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear it from the Father." In our lives, at least in my life, I need to be more God conscious. Do you ever stop before you do something that's going to cause a few problems and say, "What would Jesus do?" You got the bracelet? WWJD. Remember that bracelet? You got them on your rack or hanging somewhere, or they all wore out? How many bought one? How many ever had one? How many had a shirt with WWJD on it? Do we ever stop and ask ourselves, "What would the Father do about this situation?" No, not usually. Do you know why? Because we already have it planned. People have their own schemes. People are going to do it their way. Not Jesus. Let me show you a couple scriptures. You might want to mark these down. John 5:19. John 5:19. We got it? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? First time you ever spoke in church. Getting brave today. 5:19. Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." Jesus did what the Father did, and he says, "What the Father does, I also do." Let me illustrate. Let me ask a question. Was it before the resurrection or after the resurrection that the gospel went to Gentiles? Was it before or after? How many think you know? How many said it was before? How many said it was after? Jesus told his 70 and the 12, I believe, don't go to the house of the Gentiles, but go to the house of the Jews. Who was the first one that reached the Gentiles? In Acts chapter 10. Peter. Okay. Okay. The gospel was not to be preached to the Gentiles before Jesus died, but how many remember the Syrophoenician woman coming to Christ? What was she? A Gentile? She had a demon-possessed daughter. How many remember? And she comes to Jesus and said, "Jesus, heal my daughter." And Jesus said, "I'm not supposed to give the crumbs to the dogs, or I'm not supposed to give the bread to the dogs." And the woman said, "But Master, even the puppies have the crumbs that fall from the table." And Jesus looks to heaven. I believe the Father shaking his head yes, because he could not deny that faith. And he says, "I haven't seen all this faith even in the house of Israel." Jesus is at a wedding, Cana of Galilee. What happens at the wedding? They run out of... So you don't go out and drink. They ran out of grape juice, okay? Mary, who's Mary now? The mother of Jesus comes to Jesus and says, "They're out of wine." And Jesus said, "What am I supposed to do? I'm not, my time is not here. I'm not supposed to be revealed yet." And Mary didn't even hear him. She probably heard him. She looked at the servants and said, "Whatever he tells you to do, go ahead and do." I believe again. Jesus looked to the Father. Father said, "Yes, go ahead." Or spoke to him. And Jesus turned the water into wine. Why? Because of faith. Over and over and over. Even though he wasn't sent to the Gentiles yet, he healed a Roman soldier's servant. He touched people. But he told his own disciples, "I don't want you going to the house of the Gentiles. I want you going to the house of the brethren or the Jews." What you say, what are you going in that for? There are times as we're walking this out, God's going to bring into our life situations. And you have to choose what is the will of the Father in this situation. Now keep in mind, as we talked on Sunday, last Sunday morning, it's never the will, and God will never violate his word. But there are decisions, like Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, there are times we don't know how to pray as we ought, but he'll intercede for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. And so in your life, there are times that you may have your mind made up. That person, that situation, they don't deserve any mercy. They don't deserve any love. They're scoundrels. But God may say, "I have a plan for that." That could be a Saul. And we need to listen and we need to hear. what God is saying and what God is doing. I'm going to close with this, John chapter 8, or I'm going to continue to close. John chapter 8, 28. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things. And He who sent me is with me, and my Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please Him. What the Father taught me, I'm going to speak. It's my will," okay, take a look, "to always please the Father." You know, when I was younger, kind of had an interesting attitude sometimes. But as you get older and you don't have to learn from a whole bunch of putting your foot in your mouth or doing things that aren't right, if we can walk by the philosophy, spiritual teaching, that as I live, I'm going to always please God. If I can walk that out, if I can come to a place where I love God with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and I always love my neighbor as myself, I put people ahead of me. It's not always what I want. It's very interesting working with people in a tent meeting, because I've done it before, and these folks haven't, except for Dave. But you know something? What's even harder? It's to know that you think you know what you're doing and they don't, so you tell them what to do. Hello? Do you ever hear of some shut mouth grace every once in a while? Do you know something? My ideas and my principle, they did it their way. You know something? They worked. Isn't that surprising? They put it together and it worked. I can't believe it. That's not how I would have done it. But you know something? Sometimes we just say, go for it and please God. There are times it's not worth giving people a piece of your mind. It's not going to work anyway. If people ask for your suggestion, give some. Boy, you got quiet. Anybody here strong-willed? Anybody here, Dr. Dobson would have said you're the strong-willed child? Donna, any of these? They're pretty humble. Curtis was. I love it when he's in the second row. Okay. Here's what I said. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does what? Cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the what? Lusts of the flesh. If we say that we abide in Jesus, we ought to walk as He walked. Friends, in the Spirit you can do it. In the flesh you can't. There are times we have to put down the flesh so that we're walking on the flesh and we're living in the Spirit. Because every one of you, at least when you came in here, were human. But But we can't use our humanity for an excuse to do and say and live as we want to. We have to abide in the Spirit of God and walk it out as Jesus did. Amen?